Forum on World-Class IT is brought to you by Red Hat, the world's leading open source solutions provider. Learn more at redhat.com. Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Aaron Levy to the broadcast. Aaron is the CEO and co-founder of Box, a leader in online file sharing and cloud content management for individuals and enterprises alike. Aaron created Box, originally called Box.net, as a college business project with the goal of helping people easily access their information from any location. Box was launched from Aaron's dorm room in 2005 with the help of the current CFO of the company, Dylan Smith. Aaron is the visionary behind Box's product and platform strategy, which is focused on incorporating the best of traditional content management with the most effective elements of social business software. Aaron studied business at the Marshall School of Business at the University of Southern California before taking a leave of absence, which he's acknowledged is likely to be a permanent one. I spoke with Aaron a few days ago on his cell phone as he and his team prepared for BoxWorks, Box's user conference, which is slated to begin on September 15th. I began by asking Aaron about what he planned to unveil at this year's conference.
What we think a lot about at Box is really the future of information and how information and content and data get used inside of businesses. And we're very fortunate that Box is used across a number of different industries. We have over 20 million users. There's over 180,000 businesses that use the product. And so we get to see a lot of the trends and changes that are happening in a lot of these businesses. And one of the most important, you know, trends is really this ability now to bring information and get it to all of the right people at the right time inside your enterprise. So if you think about how that breaks down in different use cases, in a healthcare environment, that means how do you get access to medical records or medical images or medical library content instantly when you need it, when you're working on a procedure with a patient? In manufacturing, how do you make sure that you can get the information about your products and your supply chain to your manufacturers and to your partners on demand? And so in every single industry, we see the role of IT and the role of cloud and the role of information changing pretty dramatically. And so BoxWorks is all about, you know, bringing everybody together to talk about both that, but also really think about where the future of this space is going. So we'll be launching a number of products that we think relate to how business is changing, how people are changing how they work, you know, how mobile and how more distributed and more collaborative workforces are going to kind of change the shape industries. And that's what BoxWorks is ultimately all about. We have a bunch of great speakers. My favorite band is playing, so that's a plus for me. And it should be a pretty great time.
That's wonderful. It sounds very exciting. You've alluded to some of the verticals that the organization has been focusing on, verticals like healthcare and manufacturing. I've also noted education, entertainment, and among others. As you've thought about developing this greater depth of expertise in different verticals, how have you reflected that back into your organization? Does it mean hiring people from those verticals to draw the appropriate insights to apply what Box has traditionally done well now into some of those industries?
So as a vertical becomes more important to our effort or more important to our revenue stream, or we believe that to be successful in that vertical, we need to go much deeper than maybe we do in other spaces, we'll generally both build up a small team and then, you know, have somebody run the vertical, build up a small team focused on the partnerships, on the alliances, on the customers, on the different ways of going into the marketplace and being much more relevant on the back-end technology. A quick example of this at Box is our healthcare strategy. We have a woman by the name of Missy Krasner. She was actually helping lead Google Health's efforts. She worked under two government administrations helping define health IT technology policy. She does a lot of investing in the health IT space. And her job at Box is to help us build our healthcare strategy. We are now HIPAA compliant, so a lot of changes on our back-end systems. And we have a number of partners and we have a number of customers that we're now going to market with in a very different kind of way. So that's an example that we think manifests over a bunch of different industries that we're working on, but it's sort of the best mix of a very complex, highly regulated industry that is benefiting tremendously because of much cheaper, much simpler technologies like Box. And we'd like to go bring that kind of innovation to every major industry where information and technology can come together in a pretty unique way.
That's excellent. And you mentioned the hiring of Mindy Krantzer, and you've certainly had a number of very prominent hires in recent months. And obviously, the war for talent is very active right now. As you approach people of her ilk and make the case for them to leave very prominent positions in other organizations, what sort of vision are you crafting in order to make that pitch?
In the industry we're in, it all comes down to who has the best talent and you know, who's actually leveraging and deploying that talent in the best possible way with the best strategy. That's really what this all comes down to is, do you have the best people and are you putting them on the right and the best possible opportunities? So we spend a lot of time recruiting and building up our team, not only from the executive, you know, management level. So folks like our chief trust officer was the head of security for Yahoo and Symantec. Our head of business development was the head of business development at Symantec. Our head of people operations was the chief talent officer of HP. So we certainly tried to build up a very strong team. Our head of engineering was the creator of Google Docs, and he ran a big chunk of Google Apps engineering for quite some time. It's not only about the team that is sort of helping lead the organization, but it's also the partners and the people around the business that help us succeed that matter as well. So just today we announced that we're working with Steven Sinofsky, who is obviously most known for helping lead Windows and Office efforts at Microsoft. And he's going to help us really think a lot about the future of collaboration and productivity software and how people are going to be working in the future and how Box relate to all of that. So we're pretty excited about the team we put together, but obviously our job is to always be thinking about the future and what kind of individuals do we need to surround ourselves with.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the evolution of the organization. Obviously, when you founded it back in college, your original target audience was consumers. And as I note, 3 or so years in, you switched over to the commercial space. So I wonder, and obviously you continue to have a presence in both with a special focus now in the commercial sector. So thinking about that migration and sort of the consumerization of IT more generally speaking, as you think about the evolution of the company from its various iterations, what have you drawn from personal use of your technology to then apply that to the commercial space, which has been a bigger focus in recent years?
You know, the way to think about Box is we are basically a consumer internet company that goes to market in an enterprise fashion. The way that we build our product, the way that we design our technology, the way that we have an open platform, you know, usually resembles much more of what you'd expect from a Google or a Facebook. But the kind of software we build and the way that we bring it and introduce it to customers is often what you'd expect from a Salesforce.com or an Oracle or an SAP, but obviously done, you know, we think with a lot you know, more efficiency and in a much more kind of compelling you know, type of way. So that mix of traditional approach to working with enterprises with a much more dynamic way of getting to end users is very unique to enterprise software today, and it's something that's actually changing the entire enterprise software environment. So you can't separate the trend of consumerization of IT from the need to have technology. That's really what we do at Box, and that's ultimately how we build our software. So we have 20 million users, and these users all signed up for Box. Most of them signed up for Box on their own. Many have been given to, you know, within their business environment. But they bring Box into the workplace. They start to spread the service, and they start to collaborate with other people. And then ultimately, we have an enterprise product that can be sold to businesses that is more, you know, has much, you know, deeper security functionality, much better analytics, much more integrated, you know, services into the enterprise environment. And those things come together in a very compelling and very kind of, you know, symbiotic kind of way, where you have end users bringing new kinds of software into the workplace, but you still have the same kind of security and the same kind of control that you'd expect from an enterprise software company. And that's ultimately what we're able to deliver to our customers today.
You mentioned some of the other sort of traditional players that are, at least broadly speaking, some of your competitors, a very apparent advantage that you have in being smaller, more nimble, not having these sort of legacy processes and technologies that simply slow you down. You can turn on a dime to a much greater extent, which so many of your recent announcements certainly suggest. Is there something from the lessons of those behemoths that you're bearing in mind as you slowly but surely become one? I have to imagine you would hope you would continue to become a behemoth of your own.
Well, yeah, we certainly would like to have the impact that many behemoths have without the connotations that word obviously, you know, creates.
Right.
I think our focus is how do we build, innovate, and move and operate in the way that you see a Facebook doing today, even at its scale and its level of impact, where they're constantly innovating, they're constantly building new technology, while they're still having a very significant impact on over 1 billion people in the world. And, you know, if we can take those kinds of ideals and bring them into the enterprise software space, where today we actually update our software every single day, we'll push a new version of the site. That's not how any enterprise software company has ever operated. Right? You're usually on annual or every 3 year sort of release cycles, but we're building and updating our technology on a daily basis. And the way that we get used by individuals, we distribute up through iPhones and through the iPhone marketplace and through Android devices. And we deliver the service ultimately through the end user, which forces us to focus on these cycles of disruption, these cycles of innovation at a much faster and more accelerated way than a traditional enterprise company. So that's how we think we're going to be able to always remain much more agile and much more dynamic than traditional enterprise incumbents.
How has your role changed over the years from the time where it was just a couple of people to now that there are so many more?
Over the past few years, I've been very fortunate to be able to have a very strong management team. We have a chief operating officer who helps run and handle a lot of the day-to-day operations of the business. So his job is to make sure that we are building the right organization and going to market in the right way with the right people. And my job is to focus on really the product and focus on our customer experiences and focus on our partnerships and really our competitive strategy. So that's really where I spend most of my time is thinking about what does Box need to be able to do to continue to not only stay relevant to our customers, but hopefully change the course of this ecosystem and to open our customers' minds up to new ways of working and sharing information. And that's what I spend all of my time on, and I'm very fortunate to be able to have a team that allows me to put my time toward that.
You've developed so many creative partnerships, and you mentioned some of the companies that you admire and those that you in fact partner with. In this day and age where business models changed so quickly, and one strategy must reflect that, today's partner could become tomorrow's competitor. How do you think about that interplay between some of those organizations that you partner with who are in adjacent spaces, whose space you may wish to get into, and likewise, who may themselves elect to become more competitive with Box?
Well, interestingly enough, more so what we've seen is yesterday's competitors becoming today's partner. And we've companies like Microsoft, companies like Google, where we're constantly competing, we're finding new ways of working together as well at the same time. And I think that's just going to be the state of technology in the future is we need a high degree of openness between our applications because that's what's in the best interest of customers and serving the ecosystem. At the same time, you can't stop the sort of forces of capitalism and innovation where you are going to have companies that compete with one another and try and introduce new services into the market, but that doesn't mean that you're going to force customers to have worse experiences with those two technologies. So, with Salesforce.com as an example, we both partner in a number of areas, but we're also, we're also slightly competitive. They have ways that you can store and share content in their application, and that's obviously our entire business. And at the same time, we think we're very strong partners together. They're an investor in Box, and that really has become the intertwined nature of the ecosystem. And actually, I think it's a lesson for even Microsoft, where for so long, they felt they had to be the enemy of everybody in the industry. And even if they didn't feel that they had to, they ultimately turned into that because they would only compete with people. They weren't partnering very effectively with the marketplace. And I think that if you look at their most recent strategy, it's a very insular kind of strategy, right? It's not very open to the rest of the ecosystem. And that's something that's been changing recently with some of the new leaders that they have they've been building out ecosystems, but it certainly contributed to Microsoft getting to the stage that it's at today.
As you think about the conference that's coming up at BoxWorks, can you tell us more about some of what you're hoping to sort of impart on the audience as to where the organization is going and why they ought to be sort of enthusiastic about the future as you see it?
Yeah, I think that there's no business that is not facing some level of disruption today, right? I mean, in the technology industry, we're already used to this concept that Microsoft can disrupt IBM and Android can disrupt Microsoft, and something will come along someday that will disrupt Android and so on. But we're also beginning to see this exact same kind of pattern and the same kind of effect in industries that never really saw themselves as experiencing kind of creative destruction at the rate that we're seeing today. So in the healthcare space, in the manufacturing world, in the retail world, as digital technologies begin to bring new kinds of business models into our lives, and as information technology changes how we run our businesses and how organizations are led and come together, we know that every business, you know, out there is facing all of this type of change, and we'd like to be able to be one solution or one type of enabler of helping, you know, produce better outcomes in your business, right? When you can have instant access to any information about your business, when you can share that with your customers on demand, when you can organize your company in new ways because everybody can share and collaborate from any kind of device, that's ultimately what we're trying to drive. But it's only one small piece of the entire change that's occurring. But we'd certainly like to be able to bring that conversation to light about what happens in this information economy that we find ourselves in today. Well, how does business change, and how can companies ultimately stay ahead?
To what extent, for organizations who are stages of their migration and the use of something like Box and are relatively new to the kinds of assumptions that you've just described, some of the hypotheses as to where business is going and harnessing data in better ways and improving collaboration in the very exciting ways that you've just described, what are some of the early steps that you would recommend that organizations contemplate if, in fact, they've not yet done much in this area? I know that there are a lot of large traditional organizations who make up your customer set, but some perhaps aren't yet. And how do you think about, what sort of advice do you offer for them in terms of taking that first step?
Yeah, I think there's, first of all, you have to, there's sort of almost a hierarchy of needs, right? Where in the very baseline, you know, part of the hierarchy is, do you have the core technologies and the core productivity solutions that are going to allow your employees to be as effective as possible and as high performance as possible? And that's a simple exercise. That is, you know, looking across your technology stack and seeing, are people spending too much time with very clunky and cumbersome software? And are there lower cost and more efficient and simpler solutions on the market that can let you move way more quickly as a business? And we've gone through that exercise ourselves internally. I mean, much of our organization is running on top of a set of cloud-only solutions like Zendesk and NetSuite and Workday and Google Apps and Salesforce. And those tools let us focus a lot less on managing systems and servers and having employees run into, you know, dead ends and waste of time with bad software, and much more about how do you make people as efficient as possible. So that's sort of the first wave of how companies usually experience these kinds of technologies. But the next, you know, wave from there is really, how do you look at your business in new ways because of this access to information? How can you make better decisions in your sales process? How do you make better decisions in your supply chain? How do you work with new kinds of partners that previously would have been impossible to collaborate with because of the boundaries of information and because of the boundaries of our networks? We're seeing a lot of, you know, fundamental business process changes because of access to cloud solutions. So, you know, when you finally have access to a broad network of partners and contractors and suppliers, and you can finally work with them in an on-demand way, it means that the way that you organize your own business will actually change pretty rapidly. It means that I can take a function that used to require an internal team and leverage, you know, the strength of a partner to help solve those problems, right? There's lots of new ways that our businesses can be sliced and new ways that our businesses can be organized because of information technology. There's a great example, not of a Box customer, but Pfizer uses this new software called GT Nexus that allows them to manage their supply chain using a cloud solution. And because they can now manage their entire supply chain through one common interface, it allows them to actually plug and play different components and different partners into that supply chain in a very agile and elastic basis. So they can now, they've now been able to almost virtualize their entire supply chain simply because they have software that lets them actually render their supply chain in that kind of way. Right? We have a customer, Forest University Medical Center. They allow doctors to have access to all of the medical libraries and procedures from iPads. So it means that now the way the doctor is delivering care can be much closer to the actual patient because they don't have to go back to their desk and pull up that information. They can do that all on demand. when you are able to bring information closer to the ultimate sort of business transaction, and you allow people to be more mobile, and you allow business to be more virtually integrated, we just think this is going to change the future of, you know, first of all, the economy, but actually ultimately even the products and jobs and, you know, ways that we experience and work with business.
Excellent. Well, I certainly want to thank you so much for taking this time. I think a lot of really great insights here. Thank you for taking the time and sharing those.
Sure. Yeah, thanks a lot. Really appreciate it.
The Forum on World Class IT would like to thank Red Hat, the world's leading provider of open source solutions, for being our corporate sponsor. Red Hat uses a community-powered approach to provide reliable, secure, and high-performing cloud, virtualization, storage, Linux, and middleware technologies. To learn more, visit redhat.com. You just listened to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategy's five principles of World Class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.